You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
September the 8th, 2022, we are live streaming at rumble.com. You go to rumble.com right now and enter in Larry Connors, USA. It'll take you to that page. You can push live and join us in studio. Or you can watch it later at your choosing. You did hear a moment ago something regarding our Federal Reserve and what it's going to happen regarding you, your family, your home, and your interest rates. Keep that in mind as I tell you this story. Today, our U.S. Secretary of State, Blinken, announced that we're going to spend another $2 billion in new military aid for Ukraine and Europe in general. $2 billion. This, by the way, follows a $675 million package of heavy weapons, ammunition, and armored vehicles for Ukraine earlier. We just keep throwing money at Ukraine as if that's going to solve and take care of everything. Listen, I'm all for supporting Ukraine, but could we start kind of spending that money on actually helping Americans? Could we do that? Could we even consider that possibility? Not with this administration. So, Federal Reserve Chair Powell announcing today by his statement that it appears almost certain, if you're a betting man, put your money on it's going to happen, a third straight hike in interest rates this month at 75 points, three-quarter point jump. Powell said we need to act forthrightly and strongly. We need to keep at it until the job is done. So basically, keep in mind, your interest rates are going to be going up. Democrats, of course, are trying to make the coming election about that guy, Donald Trump, and January 6th. You know that's what they're doing. But by many, the problem is not Trump. It's a question of Biden and his reputation. It's gotten so bad that, and we've said this before, it's going to happen, and sure enough, we're seeing it, and it's going to escalate. Many candidates on the Democrat ticket running for House, Senate, governor, whatever, they really are not calling on Joe Biden to be campaigning with them. And they're really trying to run away from everything he's done. They better. But the fire will catch up with them. What they are going to put their hat on is the support of Barack Obama. Obama is going to go out on the campaign trail and help some individual candidates and also help raise money. Well, he'll certainly be better than Biden, but you can't get past the fact of what Biden has put us into by day one, canceling Keystone Pipeline, saying we're going to start getting rid of fossil fuel. And opening up the border. Anything Obama has to say should always be put up against that backdrop. And a Rasmussen poll found that 62% of registered voters believe Biden likely consulted and perhaps profited from the Biden family business deals. That doesn't help. As you heard on the network news as well, Queen Elizabeth II died at age 96, the longest reign in British history. You might recall CNN chief anchor Bernard Shaw. He passed away yesterday at the age of 82. And then you have a reporter that did a story on a Democrat official. Democrat official, I guess, didn't like it. And according to police, murdered the reporter.
Connors USA, news and commentary.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with a Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Drinking dog whiskey, telling white lies. One leads to another on a Saturday night. And don't you cross your heart unless you hold the dime. Drinking dog whiskey.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
And so what is your reaction when you just hear the details, the list of the hundreds of classified documents, the latest reporting from the Washington Post that Donald Trump, now a private citizen out of office, had all this at his beach resort in Florida?
I think you've been asking the question, why? I don't think it matters why. The fact that he had those documents in his possession is offense enough. Subject to perhaps criminal prosecution. If I had had those in my house after leaving office, I would be in handcuffs by this time. And so I think the Justice Department has gone out of its way to show deference to the former president, that no other president in the history would have behaved in this fashion or had behaved in this fashion. So I think the Justice Department is going about it very methodically, very deferentially. I think that time has come to an end. I go back to the January 6th committee.
Yeah, got to tie in January 6th, don't we? That was former Defense Secretary William Cohen in an interview with MSNBC. Now, he was Defense Secretary under Bill Clinton. You heard him go into the fact, because they want to make the most they can of these documents, which we really don't know what exists or not, right? Now, you saw pictures, I assume, the photo. A paper spread all across the floor and several files indicating that they were marked as classified, top secret, sensitive. Doesn't mean anything was inside the folder, assuming it was there anyway. And the FBI let that photo, they obviously took it, and then DOJ and the FBI decided, let's let the media see it. Let's see how, let them take a look at this. This will scare the hell out of them. And then they continue to try to create other stories, which we'll come back to in a moment. But the bottom line is what they wanted to hear from Defense Secretary William Cohen, that what if that had been you? Well, you would have had the luxury that they've been giving Trump, right? So let's go back to that basic question to Cohen as to what would happen to you?
Secretary Cohen, let me ask you a simple question. If you had tucked even one top secret document into your briefcase when you were defense secretary and taken it home with you, what would have been the consequences?
Well, if I had still been in office, I think the consequences would have been limited. But the practice was for me never to take anything home. Every time I touched a top secret document in my office or in the car, the limousine taking me to the office, it was always under watch. If I had had those in my house after leaving office, I would be in handcuffs by this time.
You think that's true? Then you have to ask, and in fact, based on our stories we aired yesterday, some of the comments coming in on my Facebook page and at LarryConnorsUSA.com or LarryConnorsUSA Facebook, others immediately say, well, what about Hillary? What about Hillary? I know, you can't get past that, can you? Nor can you, as should you, get past, what about Hunter Biden and Joe Biden right now? I mean, we're not talking about document, we're talking about anything that would jeopardize national security. Opening the border jeopardizes national security. Now, I don't know what Trump has, what he did or didn't do, whether he did or did not declassify what they say they found. I still don't know in their receipt of what they took from the house, why they took articles of clothing. No one's giving us an answer on that. And, of course, don't forget that they continued to fight against a special master even being assigned, which we're going to come to in a moment. The purpose of this, the timing of it. Listen, these guys know how to run and stop the clock and run it to their advantage better than one of your best professional football coaches on, we got a minute and a half to go down the field and score not once but twice. They know how to run that clock down and work it around. That's what they're doing. Everything continues to just build and filter around and float around and hoping it sticks or draws some attention as we get closer to midterm. And it's going to do it again when we go to the general election. And what they're doing now is just putting out innuendo after innuendo and supposition of what would have happened to you. Well, I would have been in handcuffs. Very much like MSNBC and CNN and the rest of them. Just simply sat there and took the word of James Clapper and others who testified over the Russia collusion story. And they would say, well, we're testifying behind closed doors. We can't really tell you what we said, but it's going to be bad. It's going to blow Trump apart. It's going to absolutely make it clear. And then when the transcripts were released, what did we hear them say? Not much, if anything. They certainly did not come up with the evidence and what they said in their testimony, sworn testimony, that they gave to members of Congress because they did not want to be caught on perjury charges. Now, they can lie to you, the public, using CNN and MSNBC and all the rest of them, but you can't put them in jail for lying to you. Come on, man. And then you have all of these leaks that have continued to filter and just find their way into the hands of the state-controlled media, such as the Washington Post story that came out. And here's Joy Reid on her program almost breathlessly telling you what the Washington Post story just released.
The Washington Post reported that a document the FBI seized at Trump's crib described a foreign government's military defenses, including its nuclear capabilities. And some of the seized documents detailed top secret U.S. operations so closely guarded that many senior national security officials are kept in the dark about them. The recklessness is astonishing. And yet, Trump claims it's all a hoax. His attorney even mocked the allegation the same day that this news came out.
To that point, she's right. They mocked it, and Trump denies it. I don't know, and I'm not trying to tell you that I have inside information that says the Washington Post story was wrong, nor can I tell you that it was right. But the issue here is that state-controlled media, they really don't care. Do not let the facts interfere with a good story. They did not do it for all those years of the Russian collusion investigation. And they certainly didn't do it when it came to the Hillary Clinton inquiry. The facts don't matter. So she had 60,000 emails. She and her attorney sit down and say, these 30,000 apply to what you're trying to find. The rest, we did destroy them because they're no value. They made the decision. Which brings us to the fact that how the administration, the Department of Justice under Merrick Garland, and FBI leadership were fighting against having a special master appointed to look at all these documents and make a decision. Was there a violation of client privilege with your attorney? Is there executive privilege that Trump might have still had? In other words, you gathered up way too much. You gathered up passports and obviously the clothing. I don't know what the clothing had to do with it. And they haven't told us one thing about that. But the point is, they did not want someone that has supposedly no dog in the fight to have a look at it. And then what they started doing is, you know, that judge that cleared that and approved the special master while Merrick Garland was saying, you can't do that. Department of Justice saying it's going to ruin our investigation. You know, that judge was appointed by Trump. But when they say that, they don't also point out the judge that gave them the search warrant to begin with was very cozy with Democrats. Jonathan Turley, Fox News contributor. I want to make sure I stress that to you. Fox News contributor, Georgetown law professor. He said, what happened when the judge decided a special master should be able to look at it? They went after not the law, but after the judge.
Beyond her limits, the attacks on this judge are really astounding. I mean, it is part and parcel of what we've seen for the last 6 years. But this judge is taking a modest step, in my view, to reassure the public, to address these constitutional questions. What's astonishing about the heat in the rhetoric against this judge is that the special master is an extension of her authority. They're used all the time. Now, it is extremely rare to see it at this point, but she is allowed to look at documents in camera. She's also allowed to have someone else look at documents in order to create a record upon which she can rule. One of the big issues here, John, that was a major victory for the Trump team is that she said, I don't believe that it is a settled law that Trump had no executive privilege arguments that he could make. You know, the Justice Department put forward some very extreme statements. And she said, in my view, the Supreme Court has never answered that question.
And that's her view as a judge. And she has a right to do that. And I point out, it's a she. I've told you before, I don't care if you are black, if you're Asian, if you're anything else you want to choose, as long as you're on the Democrat side, that's okay. But if you happen to be on the other side, you are subject to attacks of every type. But the argument they were presenting and not having her appoint a special master, they were claiming, oh, my God, it will foul up our investigation. Everything will be, it'll just gut the entire investigation. This will be Trump's way of covering it all up. Well, Jonathan Turley again says that's not a very good argument.
The fact is that the DOJ was unlikely to issue any indictment before the midterm elections in 60 days. This does not prevent them from continuing their investigation. They can't use the documents, but they can interview witnesses as to what was known, was that the contents of these boxes, whether there was efforts to move any contents, whether there was any efforts to conceal. They can continue those lines of questioning with witnesses, which go to the elements of crimes like obstruction.
And they probably are doing that. They just don't want you to believe they can continue because the judge screwed everything up. Or maybe Turley just gave the suggestion that, oh, well, we can do that? Well, let's proceed. But in trying to make it clear that what would have happened to him, they'd been in handcuffs, if he had done anything after leaving office, if he had any documents. Well, there's a difference between William Cohen when he served as defense secretary and Bill Clinton, who was president. The president has the authority, whether or not he used it, I'm not saying he did, to declassify anything. The secretary of defense cannot take papers home and say, well, I declassified them. You can't do that. You don't have full authority to do it. And we all remember, of course, The general who took the papers home to work with his lover, writing a background story on him, and had some of the documents for her to see. But, of course, let's not forget, because they want to remind you again. And former Defense Secretary Cohen, under Bill Clinton, finds a way to work it into the discussion January 6th. Where he brought up the fact that, you know, January 6th needs to be looked at, and the sense that all of this stuff kind of ties together. That's what he would have you say, right? When we come back, we're going to talk about corporate extortion. Or do some of these corporations actually accept that it's good for children to be sexually mutilated to change their gender? Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All right, so if you have some of these businesses in your portfolio or you do business with them, you need to know this. You do what you want. I'm not going to tell you to boycott. I'm going to leave that to you. My idea of the boycott is that I just don't do business with someone. And there are some singers and entertainers that I might even use for bump music in this program that their politics and some of their stuff is I don't like, but I'm going to accept that they are good at what they did short of getting into politics or anything else. The Boise Pride Festival is going to have an event featuring drag performers. Well, that happens a lot, Larry. What's the big deal? It's taking place this weekend, as a matter of fact. They are going to be sponsored by several companies such as Wells Fargo, Target, Hewlett-Packard, and Citibank. Now, Target and Wells Fargo already have a history of supporting leftist racism, so it's not so much that this is way out of it. Wells Fargo has even boasted that they've marched in more than 50 gay pride parades, and customers can get credit cards emblazoned with the pride flag or transgender flag. That's their decision. And it seems to work for them, and that's fine. And I'm not trying to knock on the people that belong to the organizations. I'm just saying too many times these companies are extorted that if you do not step up and endorse and take part, we will destroy you. BLM got very good at doing that. But here's the kick to this Boise Pride Festival. It's going to feature drag artist, but there's one event titled "You Have Watched the Kings and Queens of Drag, Now It's Time to See the Kids." That's right, they're going to have drag kids on stage, and the description says, "Come and cheer them on as they bring drag to the younger generation." Does no one have a problem with that? Really? You as an adult, you make your decision. If you want to go to the show, you want to participate, that's fine. But now they're going to bring children into it. You got T-Mobile in it, the Blue Cross of Idaho, Albertsons, Intuit, Tito's. How the hell is a Texas vodka company get pulled in? And, well, this is another one. Jack Daniels. Now, of course, when MLB was forced to put up BLM on the baseball games everywhere that they could be seen while the game was being televised, a lot of people walked away from baseball and football. Now gradually they're coming back. And this kind of stuff is just continues to accelerate because no one says, stop it. And the American Federation of Teachers now promoting the use of a pronoun card to be used at all grades. It'd be something they say is an introduction card. And the card says, can I call you this name outside of class? May I use these pronouns when calling your home? This is the American Federation of Teachers Union promoting such. Gender pronouns. That's what they want to do, and they want kids to follow it, and they want the teachers to do it, and also don't tell the parents about it. And then this one should not surprise you. It's happening in California at San Juan Hills High School. A teacher known only as Flint posting repeatedly on TikTok about, we have books in our queer library available for students. And this has been active for 5 years. So it's been there all this time. It's just getting a little bit more attention because she's making a point, saying, look what we got here. Everything you need to know about being trans, bondage, sadomasochism, fetishes, and kink social media working sites, sexual liberation. This is what's in the high school library. The books are not paid for. They'll make it clear to you. We're school district money, taxpayer money is not paying for it. The books are donated. Listen, some of the stuff that's in here, I'm not even going to try to read on the air. But I'm telling you that we have gotten to this point because no one has said, back off. Hands off our kids. Quit pushing this in front of them. Now, if a child, a young adult, let's say at high school, not a third grader, or second grader, that they begin to feel inclinations that way or they want to go along with the crowd, that'll be between them and their parent, assuming the parents are knowing or allowed to know. And they may or may not. And I'm not going to fault those who find that. That's between them and their parent and their decision at that point. Doesn't hurt anyone but themselves, mostly. But when you keep shoving it down kids' throats on a constant basis, you're going to have that kind of reaction. You're going to have more acceptance. Then we have a university, a religious university, that may take a case all the way to the Supreme Court for what's happening. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Many car dealers are quick to sell you a car, but Ackerman Toyota knows that's just the beginning of your relationship. When it comes time for routine or special service work, others might be too busy. Not Ackerman Toyota. Hours and days to fit your schedule. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Ever since I was a young boy, I played the silver ball. From Soho down to Brighton, I must have played them all. But I ain't seen nothing like him in any amusement hall.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So there's a religious institution that has now filed an appeal directly, an emergency appeal to the Supreme Court, an emergency application, because a state Supreme Court ordered that the school recognize an LGBT student group. Not LGBTQ+, just LGBT. They want to have a club on campus. The school says no. For the background of the story and a better understanding, Sarah Marshall Perry joins us. Sarah, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Sarah is a member of the Heritage Foundation, also writes and contributes to the Daily Signal, and also this was for a piece for the Federalist, along with a colleague, Jason Bedrick. Where is this school and what? It's a religious school. Let's break that down first. What's involved?
So Yeshiva University is the sort of flagship Orthodox Jewish university in the nation. And it is located right in the heart of Manhattan. And this was an opinion that was issued by a state Supreme Court judge determining that Yeshiva University, while it made a religious decision, was not religious enough to be able to refuse to recognize certain groups that were against its Orthodox Judaism and beliefs.
Can I stop you? Can I stop you right there? Did you just say the court agreed that they made their decision based on religion, but it wasn't religious enough?
Correct. And here's what it goes to. It goes to a particular state law that organizes educational institutions in the country. It determines that civil rights law, it's Human Rights Act, the New York Human Rights Act, will apply to religious organizations that are organized for a religious purpose. Here's the problem. Yeshiva University organized as an educational institution, naturally to educate and inform on Orthodox Judaism, but still organized under its education law as opposed to any religious charter. And that distinction, according to the state Supreme Court judge, was the most critical distinction here. So even though its choice was religious and it was acting in accordance with its beliefs, its simple choice of educating, of organizing as an educational institution under that particular law was sufficient to remove it protection. So they've just filed what's called an emergency application for relief to the Supreme Court, basically requesting that the Supreme Court halt the injunction, form essentially a stopgap, a wall that will prevent it from having to recognize this particular gay student group while the appeal is pending. And in the alternative, to take it up on a petition for certiorari, or what's called review. In other words, consider the entire case, start to finish, on the merits, schedule briefing, and let us go before you in oral arguments to get this sorted out.
And until that time, we continue to deny the club, and we will be. It would be accepted. Folks, to draw a line of distinction that you might understand a lot faster, that is, Trump's policy, stay in Mexico. You want to come in for amnesty reasons, we will adjudicate it, but stay in Mexico until we make the decision. This is very similar to that, only we're talking now about stay the injunction so we can continue as our university to not recognize it. Now, where does the university stand on LGBT anyway? Have they made that
well,
clear?
They made it 100% clear because it is contrary to the teachings of the Torah. And all of the students who attend the university actually engage in religious practice. They get teaching classes in rigorous religious studies. They all study Hebrew scripture. They study the Talmud, the vast whole body of Jewish texts. They follow Jewish high holy days, observe the Sabbath. They keep in harmony with the Jewish calendar, and they segregate their campuses, interestingly enough, by sex, biological sex, in accordance with Jewish law. So this doesn't just teach on Judaism and Orthodox principles, Hebrew, keeping of the sort of Talmudic traditions. This is also a university that is in its very character and nature a religious university. But that simple organization under a secular education act to organize for educational purposes is really the crux of this whole decision. But I think we're going to see, if the Supreme Court decides to take this up on the merits and consider it in full, I think we're going to see the Supreme Court hearken back to the opinion it issued at the end of last term in Carson v. Macon. Remember, that was the school choice case coming out of the state of Maine, in which they determined that, yes, taxpayers could use those program benefits, tuition assistance, at religious schools that also taught religion. They found there that the sort of character, the status versus use distinction, whether a school is religious in nature or whether it teaches religion specifically, is really a distinction without a difference. Because if you are a religious institution, you teach religion, and even if your name is religious in name only, you're very likely still going to follow religious principles.
Well,
Maine tried to split the baby on this one. I think New York is trying to do the same thing here.
So, again, you're listening to Sarah Perry, who's a contributor for the Federalist and Daily Signal and also a member of the Heritage Foundation. But their motto, you pointed out, actually refers to its core mission, the pursuit of rigorous religious and secular studies. So secular involves everything around us in the world right now, and so lesbian relationships, homosexual relationships, even if the campus is actually divided, right? Men and women do not mingle on the campus.
Correct.
But the secular issue that they, even in their motto, said core mission, pursuit of rigorous religious and secular studies. Secular means what's happening.
Indeed.
Right.
It does indeed. And to separate the two of them would actually remove it from being an educational institution at all. In addition to teaching classes in Hebrew and the Talmud and all of the other Orthodox principles, it does include teaching on the basics that you would expect to see at any institution of higher education, whether that's geography or college algebra or zoology. And so they're saying, because you also offer secular degrees in addition to religious degrees, you're too secular to be considered religious. And because you've organized under this educational statute as opposed to a religious statute, essentially for you, the human rights law should apply, and you have to follow it just like everybody else.
And it makes no distinction in the sense that it's Orthodox Jewish. I know many Jewish friends, and some are Orthodox, they keep kosher, others don't. Some are kind of a hybrid of both. But if you're going to be Orthodox, you have a set principle that is your guiding principle on a constant basis, not just cafeteria style, I'll take some of this and take some of that and I'll skip the other.
Correct, absolutely. And I think that is something that ultimately will be a consideration that the Supreme Court will have to answer. This would seem to be a slam dunk because we've just answered the religious status versus religious use question already, and because it's very clear that they both teach religion and they are religious in nature. This would seem to be the outcome that would be most likely in this case, but we can't yet determine. Justice Sonia Sotomayor, who is the justice that oversees the Second Circuit and distribution of those cases that come to the court on a petition for writ of certiorari, is going to determine what to do with the case, whether to send it to the entire Court of Justices and determine whether they should hear it on the merits or whether they should simply dismiss the petition for cert with or without an opinion. So really the ball is in her court at this point.
So the other thing is we should point out, because we're talking, of course, at the original issue involving LGBT, because the University Pride Alliance group, they actually, that was the club they're trying to put together. They also don't allow training and so forth and on shooting, video games, gambling. So they're trying to maintain strict Orthodox Jew approach to the religion.
Correct. You're absolutely right. Again, that demonstrates that they are consistent across the board, that this isn't just picking or choosing, or as some liberals have argued, essentially sort of religious tradition or religious belief that's
right,
disguising very thinly sort of animus toward alternate sexual lifestyles. That has nothing to do with it. They've been consistent from the outset, and I'm really hoping that that plays significantly into whatever the Supreme Court ultimately decides to do, that you don't have to hit a certain level of religiosity to be suited to religious exemptions. And in fact, some of the arguments that have been advanced by the Pride Alliance are fairly preposterous,
yeah.
One of which, they have said that it is not sort of injurious to Yeshiva University,
all right,
because
I'm
it can explain that Sarah, its recognition
Sarah,
is due to a legal mandate.
Thank you. We're up against the clock. The excellent point made at the end. I'm sorry we had to rush it. Well done. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you so much.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Rottler Pest Solutions is one of the top pest control companies in the nation, and yet still family-owned for three generations, 65 years. Rottler customers still get personal, professional, safe service. I personally encourage you to call. Get a free quote. Schedule same day, next day, or a Saturday. 877-ROTTLER. 877-ROTTLER. Or go to rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So I know that you're aware that if we continue down this green pie in the sky path that the ultra leftists want us to have, it will destroy life as you know it. They say it will save the world, but it's going to save their butt in the sense that they can do what they want, but you will be shackled to whatever provisions they put on you. I told you the other day, in California, they got this massive heat wave going on. They've already told, you know, you continue pushing your thermostat too high, well, then we may have to have brownouts, even rolling blackouts. And don't charge your electric car, at least during certain hours. You know, you don't have enough power to get somewhere, tough luck. Just don't do it. And yet they want you to have electric cars. By 2035, supposedly there will be no gas-powered vehicles sold in the state. First of all, you got to consider, is there a big enough battery that would be able to help a truck run across a highway for long-distance roads? Freighters? Don't even think about an electric airplane. You're back to the days of the Wright brother, and even worse, Wright brothers. And I point out just the other day that just in West Virginia, a couple from D.C. driving down the road in their electric vehicle, and it suddenly lost power. They knew it was draining, but they didn't know where are we going to find a connection. And some folks came along and helped push their car farther down the road to a spot where they could charge it. Those good Samaritans were West Virginia coal miners. So here's, if you look at what's happening in Europe, you should have a good idea of what could end up happening here. They're pushing it in Europe, and in some areas they're buying into it. They're going to suffer, but they know. And here they want you to suffer. They want you to suffer one way or the other. Take two cases as an example, just two. The Dutch city of Haarlem in The Hague is set to become the first in the world to ban advertisements for meat. You can't advertise meat. I guess hamburgers, stuff. You can't do that. Because the people of this city near Amsterdam have agreed to outlaw ads for farm meat on public places like buses, shelters, and screens starting in 2024. First city in the Netherlands, in Europe, in fact, the world, to ban meat ads in public places. Because you know the problem is with meat, if you're eating cow meat, you're going to have more cattle, and then that's another issue for our environment, in case you didn't know. Cows fart methane gas. And we need to, as even John Kerry had said at one point, the energy czar for this administration said, you need to eat less meat. They said, you need to eat less meat. Didn't say he was going to. I don't know if he does or doesn't. I could care less. But then go to Switzerland. You think it gets cold in Switzerland sometimes? I think it does. I think it does. Now they're being told in Switzerland, lawmakers are preparing to set legal limits on the use of heating during the winter. I just told you in California, they said if you are raising, you're not pushing your thermostat up, you run your air conditioner too much, well, then we may have to see rolling blackouts or brownouts. And if you're going to overwater your lawn when you shouldn't be, they'll come over and put a restrainer on it so it won't, the sprinkler won't work. So now in Switzerland, they're talking about if you don't keep your heating thermostat low enough to meet our desire, we may fine you something like $30, and it could go to $3,000. And if you continue, you know what? We might jail you for up to 3 years. There you have an idea of what could be coming here if they continue to push this nonsense. Dr. Oz, as you know, is running for Senate in Pennsylvania. Now, he is Turkish-American. He's Muslim. You think that all of those would say, hey, that's a good candidate, you know, even on the left. Nope, because he's running on the Republican ticket. He's running against Democrat John Fetterman, who's as radical as they can be. Two things here. Fetterman had said previously, he supports abortion right up to the moment of birth, right to the moment of birth. And also, he suffered recently a stroke and everything. And now he says he will debate Oz because Oz had been saying you need to debate, you know, so the people could see. Well, he suffered a stroke. He's lost some hearing. It's not going to be a good debate. And in fact, anything Oz does is going to make him look like a villain picking on somebody that suffered a stroke. That's not going to work out good for Oz. And the leftists are always saying, you think it's going to be a winning strategy to make fun of somebody who suffered a stroke? That's not what Oz is trying to do, but again, don't let the facts get in the way of a good story and narrative. As always, I thank you for listening. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.